Good evening. You're watching Left, Right and Centre. On the show tonight, the two faces of India's women are champion Olympians, women we celebrate for their incredible resilience and achievement, and the other tragic face of how women continue to be treated in our country, the alleged rape and murder of a nine-year-old in the heart of India, our national capital, is the latest reminder that despite new laws and the legacy of the Nirbhaya case, girls and women are not safe in India. Our first discussion, raped, murdered and forcibly cremated, is this the real story of nation's daughters? Up next, how women continue to contribute so much to our national pride. India's women's hockey team are still in with a medal chance. A young woman boxer, Lovlina Borgohain, has won bronze. Many of our women athletes have shown at the highest level despite incredible hardships, often poverty. They do us proud. As we celebrate these women achievers at the Olympics, it's important never to forget about how India remains desperately unsafe for girls and women, as this new murder in Delhi has shown us.
A small rented room, less than 50 square meters in southwest Delhi, has become the center of a media storm. This is where a nine-year-old girl lived, played and helped her parents with chores. She was sent by her mother to collect water from the water cooler at the nearby crematorium. Both her parents are scrap collectors. They rely on meager earnings by begging at the nearby dargah and could not afford to send their only daughter to school. They had been trying to save up for her birthday coming up in December. Her devastated mother told NDTV how she went looking for her daughter that Sunday evening, when she didn't return for over an hour. The priest, 55-year-old Radhe Shyam, forcibly burned her daughter's body in front of her eyes. She was the only one to see the victim's body.
अपने समाज भैया के पास में आ रही थी, खेंच के गेट का तारा लगा दिया, गेट के तारा लगा के हम बंद कर दिए थी, तो हमारी आवाज निकलन नहीं दे, बिल्कुल मुलाम, हाथ पैर और इसके होंठ थोड़े काले पड़ रहे थे, हाथ में थोड़ा यहाँ निशान था, एक हाथ में खुरसांट आ रही थी, खाल से उपट गई थी। आज इनको कोई घटना हो जाए तो आप मेरे बच्चे का न्याय चाहिए, मुझे न्याय, जल्लादों को फांसी लगनी चाहिए। एक कमरा में मैं बंद कर देती, एक में एक कर दिए थे, जैसे आए थे दो पुलिस वाले ऐसे ठाड़े, दो पुलिस वाले ऐसे ठाड़ी थी, इनमें लात लात बजाई थी, मेरे को आंख लिखा रहा, मुझ पे दबाव डाल रहा।
It was around 1:30 AM at the night. At that time we could get the mother. We brought her to police station and we got counselor also. In front of her, her statement was recorded. It is not that we kept them illegally or something like that. It was just procedural. We had to do it. You are calling it next day, but actually it was the same day.
Okay, she's saying five, but
I don't know. You can ask her.
The police have charged the priest Radhe Shyam and three crematorium workers with rape and murder under the Child Protection Act and the Scheduled Caste Atrocities Act. Congress leader Rahul Gandhi and Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal came to meet the family today. The Delhi government has promised the family a compensation of 10 lakhs.
The media and political attention around this case has become overwhelming for the victim's family, who are inconsolable. They want capital punishment for all of the accused. With Sanjay Kaushik, Meher Pandey for NDTV.
Well, joining us now, Sunita Krishnan, the founder of Prajwala. We're also joined by Khushbu Sundar. And I'd like to thank you both very much. And we're also joined by Shama Mohammed at this stage. I'd like to thank you very much for being with us. Sunita Krishnan, let me come to you first. It's so shocking that this would happen in the heart of our national capital, and we see it time and time again, that despite new laws, strong laws, the entire legacy of Nirbhaya, attacks like this continue with impunity. Is this a failure of political parties? Is this a failure of policing?
Vishnu, first of all, I would like to say this is absolutely disgusting. Disgusting, not just the alleged rape and murder. Disgusting that every year we sit like this, you know, on national TV and talk about such cases. happening? When are we going to stop talking about these cases, and when will these cases end? Somewhere we have failed miserably, creating deterrence by effective criminal, justice delivery. We have failed miserably in changing the male mindset about women and children, their bodies.
That's just the key point.
What we have succeeded, Vishnu, is creating a world of impunity and a huge politicization around
issues. No, in fact,
that's all that.
No, that's so right. And, you know, Shama joins us. She's from the Congress party. But I think the question that really needs to be asked, and this goes beyond Aam Aadmi, BJP, Congress, Shama, is the culture of impunity which exists in India when it comes to attacks on women, on children, the belief that you can get away with a rape, a murder, and a cremation in the manner in which we've seen now, that indicates a certain sick mentality. How does that get corrected? I mean, who corrects that? Because nothing, any law, which is published, nothing seems to have changed.
Vishnu, this can be corrected by conviction. We don't convict people. I mean, we had... Vishnu, can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a bit of an echo. Now, what I would like to say is that we need conviction. We had the Nirbhay Fund Act. We said, no, it has to be, the cases should be fast, conviction should happen fast. But those things are not happening. The Nirbhay Fund is lying over there. And also, they say that you can't pull it. Look at what is happening right now. I mean,
okay,
we have...
Shama, I need to fix your sound. It's coming and going. I'll come back to you. Khushbu, would you like to sort of come in on that point? That, no matter what laws you have in this country, the sick mindset of men when it comes to targeting women, children, a nine-year-old is so young, and destroying their lives continues. And we keep discussing it. So... what do we need to fix as a society, as a country?
It's very painful, Vishnu, that every time, like Kavita said, we come in front of the television, we discuss this problem, not today, not tomorrow, it'll go on. We have done it in the past, we're going to do it in the future. And this will very unfortunately continue until and unless we have a very, very strict laws. People.
No, but Khushbu, we do have laws. That's just the point, and that's what makes it so unfortunate. After Nirbhaya and with Justice Varma and the new laws, Khushbu, against rape, these are extremely strong laws. You can say it's an issue of implementation, but would you not say it's this mindset which has not changed?
It is the mindset, but these laws haven't instilled the fear in them.
So it's not the laws, because there can be the death sentence now.
It has to instill. No, they have to fear the laws, the mindset, the way they are.
So how does one make that connect between the law which exists and the possibility of a death sentence, right? And people continuing to do this.
Yes, yet they continue to do this is because the kind of place we are living in, the kind of mentality they are brought up in, they look at women as just an object of desire. They look at children of satisfying their own a very beastly needs. It is unfortunate. They have to change. The mindset needs to change. And we cannot go on discussing this on televisions, and we cannot have candlelit marches and say that this needs to stop. We need to stop politicizing it. We need to stop making, saying that it's about this or that community or this religion or the other religion. We have to make sure that this is about women, this is about children of a country. This is not about any political party.
I agree.
This is not about any.
This is not about any political party. But Shama, you made an important point when you said that if there were higher convictions, then this sort of thing would be reduced. Would you like to carry on with that point? We lost you.
Yeah. See, what happened about the fast track courts? Let's remember, we got in the Nirbhaya Act. Now, she says, we need to fast-track these cases. We need to convict them. They have to be hanged. Now, she says, let's not politicize it. But very important point is, we have to understand, for example, Hathras, which happened in UP. If Mr. Rahul Gandhi and Priyanka Gandhi did not go there, then they wouldn't have gone to the CBI. The whole administration tried to shut it up. That is the problem. The administration, Katua, we saw BJP lawmakers with them.
Come on, Shama, we are not discussing Rahul Gandhi or Priyanka Gandhi or Amit Shah or Modi ji here.
Kushbu, I didn't interrupt. Let me finish my point. So what I'm trying to say is that Kuldeep Singh Sengar, another case, Unnao, what I'm trying to say is lawmakers can't be in support of the rapist. I mean,
no, but they are. Nobody is in support of any rapist. But I think Kushbu Sharma makes an important point. Kushbu Sharma makes an important point when she says that attacks on women in Uttar Pradesh and in other parts of the country need to be dealt with on a consistent basis. The outrage we see over here and the fact that there is legal action, police action, and we can talk about there being justice because we know in this case there will be justice, that needs to be equal across the country. And I think that's a fair point.
Exactly, it needs to be fair. Laws should be the same for everyone, irrespective of who they are, which party they belong to, or which community or religion they belong to. It has to be, laws has to be same, and that is the point I'm stressing. Just because Mr. Rahul Gandhi went to Hathras does not mean it's not politicized. We need to understand these kind of things need not be politicized, whether Rahul Gandhi went or somebody else went. Perfectly fine.
But
we need to understand that
I
feel a 9-year-old child who is being murdered.
Just half a second. I'll let you
I'm
come in.
I'm a mother
one
of
second.
A 21 and 18-year-old girl. My heart bleeds completely. So we need to understand this is not about who's visiting the family. And
okay.
Please understand.
All right. Kushbu, just one second.
To the Kushbu, here,
Kushbu, one second. And Shama, just I've got to, my other two panelists, Atishi also joining us. Sunita, I'll come back to you in just a moment. You know, Atishi, I've been trying to go beyond the politics of this. It's a sick crime. It reflects a certain mindset which exists. As a political leader, as a strong woman leader, of a party which is so strong in Delhi, what role does the party have to try and correct the mindset of people? You know, it's not enough for the Aam Aadmi Party to say that, you know, the police is not under us. I'm asking you a larger question. How do political parties deal with people like this or parts of our city where this sort of thing continues with impunity?
See, Vishnu, crimes against women have many dimensions. Law and order is one dimension, yes, definitely an important one. But as you rightly said, there is far more to crimes against women than just a law and order problem. I mean, I think what we are looking at is a very deep-rooted mindset. And let us be very clear that it's a continuum. It's a continuum from the fact that there are still strong assumptions in Indian society that even well-educated women will leave their jobs to look after their families when they get married. This is a question ki acha shaadi ka bhi kaam continue karoge kya? So to the point of crimes against women, it's all a mindset where there is a lack of equality towards women. And I think that one of the major roles that can be played in changing that is by providing access to education and employment to women and to girls, and to changing the mindset of the boys who are coming into schools. Because why is it that we have to tell the girls in our homes with any girl or any woman who comes in your way? So definitely the education, employment, skill development, etc. is something that the Aam Aadmi Party government in Delhi has been working on. And girls' education in particular has been a very important part of the work that we are doing. But having said that, I think that there is no substitute for improving law and order. I think that we need to be very clear about that, that there needs to be the fear of swift, certain and stringent punishment.
Yeah.
When somebody knows that is going to happen, then they're going to be see, changing the mindset is the work of more than one generation. But law and order is something that can definitely be improved faster and swifter. And that is exactly what needs to be done.
So, Sunita, you know, we are celebrating today the achievements of our women in the Olympics, as we should. But that just seems to be on another planet when we have a discussion like this and we talk about the way this 9-year-old was cremated after being raped and murdered. It's just unreal, isn't it, to contrast the women we almost worship as Indians for what they've done incredibly in the Olympics, and yet this is the reality of how women are treated in our country, and children, little girls.
Vishnu, you know, just putting Sunita, some reality for all
Sunita,
of us.
One second. Sunita, go ahead.
Vishnu, two things that I want to say. One is, you know, there are three political parties sitting in this panel with me. And the question I want to ask them is, you know, between politicizing a particular case, between the cases, how much of time does each of the parties actually invest in strengthening the criminal justice system, in ensuring that there is effective justice delivery? Do we have special courts in every district? Or do we still work with designated courts where there are no judicial officers, there are no prosecuting officers? There are cases of four-year-old child's rape cases in several parts of South India that I'm working in, which is going on for the last 7 or 8 years. Hmm. Now, it is not the stringent punishment that brings in deterrence. It is the certainty of punishment in time-bound manner. Now, I'm asking all the political parties sitting here, what have you done to strengthen the criminal justice system of the country? How many protest rallies have you taken to just bring in special courts for children and make it ensure that every child's case gets over in that 1 year period that is as per the law? We don't have a dearth of law. What we have is non-implementation of law because the entire criminal justice system is failing. And yeah, that is what we need to question each other.
Yeah.
We have to answer this 9-year-old child, whether she was raped, murdered, whatever investigation will say. But her death is on all of our heads, and we need to answer that.
No, I agree. And yes, I'd like to...
Can I come in?
I agree completely. I need to wrap this up at this stage.
But
I think she raises some important points, does Sunita over there. Perhaps time for us to reflect on that reality of how effective our laws actually are. Well, joining us, Nikhil Naz. Nikhil, thanks very much for being with us. It's been a truly outstanding achievement by women athletes this time around. And I think the point which we'd like to stress is that a lot of women, for example, Lovlina, who we saw over there, have risen from relative poverty. They have overcome the odds to succeed at the highest level. This is perhaps one of the most inspirational stories in Indian sport.
Absolutely. You spoke about Lovlina, the way she fought today, Vishnu. I mean, she was up against the world number one, but, you know, she fought toe-to-toe when it came to, you know, fighting such a strong boxer. But you talk about these stories, you know, there's a saying in Indian sport that, you know, the Indian medalists don't win a medal because of the system. They win it despite the system.
Right.
But if you were to look at our Indian women, they have to cross all the other hurdles that the male athletes have to. But there's an additional hurdle that they have to cross, and that is of patriarchy. That is of, you know, stereotyping that they have to fight and fight that glass ceiling. I'll give you a few examples from the hockey team, Vishnu, and that will just sum up what, you know, Indian women have achieved. Rani Rampal, when asked, you know, why she took sport, it wasn't because she wanted to win a medal. You know, the Indian women's captain, she said, I started playing sport because it gave me a voice, because I had no voice in our society. I couldn't speak in my family. I couldn't speak in my village, because whatever a woman said wasn't ever, you know, anything that was important. So if I had to give any suggestion whether a certain road needs to be made in a village or what color paint the wall should be in the house, nobody heard me. After I started playing sport, I got a voice. That's what the Indian women's captain says. I give you another example of a defender in Deep Grace Ekka, who said that, I do not wear that mouth guard. You've seen all the, you know, hockey players wear that. Even the men wear that.
Yeah.
She did not. And she's one of those who charges that, you know, ball coming at many miles towards her. She says, I don't wear it because I want to prove that we women aren't scared of anything. We can take anything on. This is something that a male hockey player doesn't do. She does it. So these are the kind of things that they're fighting. Namneet Kaur, quickly giving another example, a forward of the Indian women's hockey team. She said, I want to play a sport because it allowed me to go out of my house without wearing a salwar kameez. She said, I have nothing against salwar kameez, but I wasn't allowed to go out of my house in anything but a salwar kameez. The only way I could wear a skirt and go out is when I started playing hockey. So these are the kind of things they've had to fight against and then reach where they have.
Absolutely. We're also joined by Neha Singh Dhyanchand, former captain of the Indian hockey team. Thank you very much, Neha, for being with us, the granddaughter of the legendary Dhyanchand, the greatest ever hockey player the planet has seen, not just India. It's wonderful to have you, Neha, on the program. Isn't it for you also, Neha, more than just, the fact that our women players today didn't get, the win that they wanted? It's also about having achieved the success that they have, because, you know, from where they've come and the challenges they've faced, what they've achieved is perhaps a bigger story than just the medal.
Absolutely, I totally agree. What they have achieved and what they have played today, outstanding performance, heartful efforts, and you can see the smile on their faces after losing the match. Losing or winning, it's a part of game. One team has to win and one team has to lose. But their spirit and their self-confidence, what they had in today's semi-final after winning their quarter-final. So we could see on the field as well how they were playing. Technically they were fit, physically they were fit, and they went all through.
Absolutely.
That is the most, but the confidence level, it's totally high.
So, Nikhil, very briefly, we've still got a couple of interesting women's events. We've got hockey. They've got an opportunity at bronze ultimately, right? That's one possibility. Then there is Vinesh Phogat in wrestling. And then there is Anshu Malik as well, she qualifies for a bronze medal match. So our women are really outshining the men this time around. And we can expect a serious haul yet in terms of medals.
Well, that's correct. I mean, if I was to just quickly run through the three, contenders you spoke about, Anshu Malik got a lifeline today because she's now gone into the repercharge. The one she lost to in round one has reached the final. She'll have to win two bouts to, show herself a bronze medal. But I'd have to say it's going to be a tough road because up there are some very highly ranked wrestlers that she'll have to beat. As far as women's hockey is concerned, that's going to be a tough game too, coming up against Great Britain. And that's a team that, the women's hockey team had lost to in the round robin. So that's going to be an uphill task as well. Vinish, I think, was one of our major medal contenders, but the draws were out today. I was taking a close look at the draws. She doesn't have it easy. She's got five very tough contenders on her side of the draw. The only silver lining there is the world champion who's beaten her multiple times. The Japanese wrestler is on the other side of the draw. But then they say, at the Olympics, you've got to beat the best if you're going to get the medals. So Vinish, yes, you could expect a medal from her. But, sorry to be a party pooper. I think the biggest now, a medal that you can expect, one from the men's hockey team. I think they'll go in as a strong contender. As well as
against Germany.
That's correct. And Bajrang Punia, who comes up in wrestling a little later. Not to forget Neeraj as well, who's looking good at the time. I know there are four or five other throwers who've thrown more than him, but he's looked good in qualifying. So, yes, plenty more medals to
he's
look for.
He's topped qualifying. Has an Indian athlete ever done that? Automatic entry into the finals on the basis of that one javelin throw.
No. So I checked on that. No other Indian athlete has ever topped qualifying. He's the first Indian to do so. However, the only other parallel you can draw is with the Indian hockey team of the past that used to top their group as such, but not in terms of an individual athlete topping the qualifying and then qualifying for the final. So he goes in as one of the contenders for sure.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you both very much for being with us. It's been such a wonderful Olympic experience, far more productive than it's been in the past. And there is hope yet for India to achieve a lot more.